This time, I'm going to take time to dismiss our children, elementary age children who are in here, going to head out with our elementary age pastors. Let's bless these children as they go. Let's bless them. Yes, ages 5 through 10. We bless our children. They'll be right here into this first classroom to the left. Parents, they will not dismiss them until you pick them up. So make sure you pick them up today in a timely manner as soon as we're done this morning. The first door to our left, right there. Wow. How many know when you take time to spend with the King that you can't help but change? I'm to you this morning, but I already feel that the King's speaking to my heart. Well, today we're continuing our series that we've started a few weeks ago called Can You Hear Me Now? I want you to say that to your neighbor. Say, can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? One of the biggest questions that we have as pastors that we get is, how do you hear the voice of God, and how do you know when God speaks to you? And so this series is talking about different ways that God speaks to us and us preparing ourselves to hear the voice of God when he speaks. You know that many times that we want God to speak to us, and so many of us want God to speak to us. We want God's direction in our life and our marriage and our job with our children, things that are happening with jobs and ministry. We want God to speak to us. And many times we wait and we think, all right, you know, we want God to speak to me. And so what happens is we're so hungry for God to speak. We'll hear a revival going on somewhere where someone's operating the gifts, where they're actually prophesying over people and telling them what God is saying. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need that in the church. But what happens many times, we're so desperate to hear God's voice, we'll run to that revival, just in the despair, hoping that that evangelist may call our name and talk to us and tell us what God is saying. And may I say to you today that those are the gifts of the Spirit, and they are in operation, and we need to continue to yield ourselves to the gifts of the Spirit as they are in operation. May I say that God has already spoken to you and I, though, and that we don't always have to have somebody come up to us and say, Jerry, thus saith the Lord, you need to move from Muskogee, move to Joplin, and God's going to give you a great church with some great friends, and you're going to play golf, and you're going to love it, says God. He's not going to always wait for those words to come to us and tell us what to do, but God has already spoken to us. He said, Pastor, how many would love to hear God speak to you on a daily basis? We would love to hear that. How do we do that? It's in his word. That God did not leave us alone. His Holy Spirit guides us, and through his word, he has already spoken to me. I can look in his word and find out direction for my life. What does God want me to do? I can look in his word and find out God has laid out a plan for my life, for my family, for my marriage. God has already spoken to me, and I can continue. Now, God will many times use people to come to you and speak to you. And what that is for, he speaks words of wisdom to you. And that should be confirmation of what God is already speaking in your heart. That should be confirmation of what God is going to be doing, and he confirms his word in you. Many times you'll be reading his word and you'll spend time in prayer and God's speaking to you to do something and you say, is that really God or is that just me thinking that? So many times we hear that and we don't necessarily know the voice of the Lord. And I wonder why that is. Do you wonder why that is? I wonder sometimes if you know, how many know when someone you are around daily or on a weekly basis, when they call you, even if you don't have caller ID, as soon as you hear their voice, you know who it is, don't you? I mean, certain people start calling you and talk, hey, how's it going? You know who they are? They don't tell you who they are. You just hear the voice. You know, the other day I had someone call me, and they said, hey, how's it going? I'm like, hey, it's great. How are you doing? And they're talking to me like they know me. I do not know who they are. And so I do what we should do instead of saying, hey, who is this? I say, yeah, hey, how's it going? Where you're at? You know, I keep waiting for them, asking questions for them to tell me who they are or ask a question who triggers who they are. Because somebody I didn't talk to on a regular basis. And so I didn't necessarily identify their voice when they called. And I wonder if God speaks to us that because we don't spend enough time listening to his voice, we don't spend enough time with him daily, that when he really does speak to us, we have a hard time identifying his voice because we don't know what it sounds like. Because we haven't spent much time with him. And then all of a sudden, we need to spend time with God. Or I need God to give me direction here. But I haven't really spent time in the last 6 months listening for direction in my life. So now I've got to identify that. So many times God will speak things to you direct you. But because sometimes we don't necessarily know the voice of God the way that we should, sometimes he'll come and he'll even use other people to talk to you and say, hey, I feel like God's doing this in your life. Or God wants you to, maybe God's got a change for you coming up. And what that does many times is confirm what God is already speaking to you. But I'm here to say to you today to this, that God has already spoken to us. It's in his word. It's in his word. He is longing for you and I to identify in his word. His voice and learning to hear the voice of God has a lot to do with the word of God and learning to get from it. That's why the first time when we talked about this, that we talked about spending time daily with him. Spending time daily with him, allowing wisdom to come from the word of God. And it comes from the word of God. I hear God's voice from scriptures. Today, I want to talk to you about this question. Is my heart ready to hear? Is my heart ready to hear? Last week, we talked about softening of our hearts and learning to hear conviction, and that conviction is a good thing. That God does not condemn us. If you're feeling condemned, that is not of God. Satan will condemn you. God will what? He will convict you. Conviction leads you closer to God. Conviction is what God uses to help draw us close to him. Shows us areas of our life that we need to work on that draw us closer back to the King. Condemnation will drive you away from God. I'm feeling condemned. I can't be worthy to be in his presence. I'm not worthy to worship him. I can't go to church. I've done this. I've made this mistakes. Satan will condemn you. God does not condemn you, okay? God does not condemn you. That's what he said through Scripture. I do not condemn you. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to through him the world may be saved. And he does that through conviction of our hearts, and we learn to identify that, softening our hearts, hearing his conviction. So the next question we ask today is my heart ready to hear when he does speak? Is my heart ready to hear? God uses tests to incline us and to find out, are we ready to hear? God will test us to find out, are our hearts ready to hear the truth that he has to say? We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13 today, and you can turn there. We're going to spend most of our time in Matthew chapter 13. And we see here in Matthew chapter 13, there's a parable about a sower. And a sower and a seed. And this farmer is sowing seed. And Jesus goes on to talk about this guy, the farmer who threw his seed upon the ground. And when he was throwing it on the ground, that some of his seeds fell upon the roadside. Instead of falling upon the good soil, it fell upon the roadsides. And the birds came and just ate the seed up, and it didn't do anything. Some of the seeds caught wind and kind of went into different parts, and they fell into shallow soil where it wasn't tilled up. It was very thin soil there. And so it would spring up real quickly because it was so a shallow soil. But what would happen was that because of the lack of depth, the soil, there was no root system, the thing would very easily wilt and be gone away. No fruit. It talks about sowing seeds into the weeds, and some of the seeds fell upon the weeds, and how that when it would try to come up, that the weeds would choke out and keep the fruit from coming from that crop. Then talked about also about how some of it fell upon good soil. He said some seeds fell upon good soil, and they received the seed and took it, and it yielded 30, 60, even 100 times the investment of that one seed. It yielded a full crop and being good soil. Some people that he was talking to during this time, and Jesus was talking to and teaching this parable to, they had a word picture. Jesus was telling a story and letting them visualize a word lesson. It was a story with truth interwoven throughout it. And they didn't quite catch the truth. And they said, that's a nice story, Jesus. Great story. That's what they say. They left them and said, all right, that's a good story, Jesus. That's a good story. We'll take it. We'll see you. It says the disciples came to him right after that, and they kind of tugged on his toga, you know. Said, hey, Jesus, now this story is more, much more than just some farmer throwing some seed with bad aim, okay? How did he get all those places at one time, you know? This guy must have been a horrible farmer. It's much more than about this bad farmer with bad aim. There's some truth here that we got to hear. And Jesus said, blessed is what he says. He says, blessed are your ears because you hear. Blessed are your ears because they hear, and your eyes because they see. For to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Listen to that again. For to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. When I read that, I thought, you know what? That's me right there. I underlined, I said, God, I want you to look at me and say, blessed is I. I'm blessed. Blessed is Gene. That I would know that he would take time to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to me. And what about it in my heart? Is it really ready to hear what God wants to say? And we know that God is talking about the condition of our heart here, because right after the question of his disciples, he gave this haunting verse that came back out of Isaiah, and he quotes it right here. It's a prophetic voice from the past that Jesus speaks. Let's look at it here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. And it says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' Jesus answered them, 'To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.'" Because why? Because their hearts were ready to hear the truth. "But to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." That's a pretty powerful verse there. Because the Lord's talking about who? The Pharisees. We know he's talking about the condition of our hearts, because he just addressed the hearts here. He's saying, "Blessed are the ears and the hearts who are ready to hear." And he was talking about what? Our hearts. Whoever has. So whoever's receptive to the truth is like good soil. That's what he was talking about here in this parable. Whoever is receptive to the truth is like good soil. The heart that rejects it won't have anything to do with it. Even what he does will be taken away. The heart who rejects the truth, even what he tries to do, what he does have, will be taken away. And the heart that applies the truth to its life and is open to the truth, it shall produce much fruit. And look at what he goes on to say here in verse 14. "In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'The heart of his people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and return, and I would heal them.'" He's saying this, but when Jesus speaks in parables, he speaks many times in parables. But many people, they close their eyes to the truth. They close their hearts to the truth. The Pharisees, they're like, "All right, it's a good story, but see it, Jesus, we're not changing." And they turned around and they walked out and never took it to heart. It was disciples who came to him and said, "There's got to be more to this. Explain the truth of really what you wanted to say." Their hearts were open to what God was saying. And he was saying, "You shall be given even more knowledge." He said, "Because you are such a hungry person to hear this story and to hear these parables, I'm going to give you more knowledge. I'm going to unlock the mysteries of heaven. I'm going to reveal them to you." But to the Pharisees, to those who hear the stories, hear the parables and say, "He's not preaching to me. He's talking to the disciples. He's discipling them. I'm not a disciple." They're the disciples. He's talking to them. "I see you." He says to them, what they already have is going to be taken away. It's the bad soil. And so we see here as we prepare our hearts that many things happen, that God always and many times speaks through parables. Isn't it true that one of the hardest things to get people to do is to change? Isn't it a hard thing to get people to change? I mean, from the time that we're babies, what's the one thing that we always want to do? Remember when you had small children, or those of you who already have children can identify? You remember what you say to do, they do the opposite? I mean, is it just something about the way we're born? You know, you say, "Don't touch that wall, the paint's wet." What are they going to do? They're going to walk over and put their hand right in the, "It is wet, Dad, you're telling the truth. Don't touch that, it's hot." Huh? I mean, how many times have you found yourself trying to get your kids to do what they want to do that you actually tell them to do the opposite thing? It's not a healthy way to discipline. It's not a healthy way to, but how many times have you ever found yourself doing that because you know if you could use reverse psychology, there's something about us doing the very thing we shouldn't do. It's hard to get people to do the right thing many times. There's something in our hearts that we have a hard time changing. And so when we hear change message given forth, that we have a hard time receiving that because we don't believe it, or we don't want to do that. We want to think that we're okay. We don't need to change. He must be talking to the people on this side. He's not talking to people on this side, only those on this side. And we have in our hearts, we justify the way God talks to us. And we want to justify things, and we always want to use Scripture to justify where we're at. Ever met people like that? Always want to use Scripture to justify their sin or justify where they're at. We'll say things like, "You know she's not my wife, but I love her. And your word says to love all people, God. And so I just want to love them." Well, I know I can go and do what I want to do because God's word says he'll forgive anybody of anything so I can live how I want to so that it's all right because he'll forgive me. Or God's word says that every herb of the field is of God and we should use it. And so I'm going to use this marijuana to please God. And we twist things around to fit who we are and to do the things we want to do. We find 20 scriptures. I mean, the pastor will preach one thing. God's spirit will speak to you on a Sunday morning and talk to you about changing something in your life. And because you don't want to change, you'll go home and get your scripture out. Let's look at what he was talking about here in the scripture. Oh, he wasn't actually identifying me because I can find 10 scriptures that back up the way I am right now. And we'll go and we'll try to find scriptures and twist them around and use them to fit our situation to make us feel better. But God doesn't necessarily want you to feel better all the time. There's times he wants you to change and he wants me to change. And he'll speak to you, and we don't use scripture just to make ourselves feel better or to justify where we're at. But we should read scripture. God, where do you want me to go today? God, what are you speaking to me today? And we don't use scripture to make ourselves justify where we're at. That's called religion. We're not called to be religious people. We're called to be people with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a relationship that brings change. We don't change. We just get more religious about our lifestyle. 20 years go by, and we are so religious that we really haven't changed. That's what happens to the Pharisees. They wouldn't talk about God. They would talk about him. They would talk about him, but they wouldn't change in their hearts. They wouldn't receive what he had to say. One of the reasons God speaks to us in parables is because it's a receptivity test here. He wants to see all your hearts ready to receive, which is our first point today, which brings us to there. Parables test the receptivity of our heart. Are our hearts receptive to hear what God speaks to us? And many times he uses parables, these stories, to test our hearts to see are we ready to receive. Do we really want to change, or do we just want to get more religious about where we are and the way we live? Look what it says here in Matthew 15:8. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. He's talking about the people who say, yeah, I know Jesus. Yes, I attend that church. Yes, I went to the synagogue. Yes, I went to the church. I went to this, did that. He's cool. I was there when he fed the 5,000. Yeah, he's talking to people who have been around him and who know him. He says their lips, they talk a good story. With their lips and their mouth, they speak a good game. But when it really comes down to it, they don't want to actually live it. They don't want to change. And he's talking about these people right here, and they test them. We got to have tests to see if our heart is a good soil or bad soil. He throws his words out to us. He throws scripture out to us. He throws messages out to us. He speaks to us and throws them out. And he says, all right, are you going to be the good soil or are you going to be the bad soil? Where are you going to allow yourself to be? Where is your heart? He says, if you have good soil, then I'm going to show you even more. I'm going to open up the mysteries of heaven to you and reveal even more to you. I will teach you to hear the voice of God. I will teach you to learn to follow my spirit. But are you good soil? Are you receiving the truth? I want to show you the mysteries of heaven. That's what God says. He wants you and I to know the mysteries of heaven. Number two, we see a parable start by offering truth as a suggestion. Parables start by offering truth as a suggestion. A parable is not a demand or a mandate. It hints at it, where it advises us toward where God wants us to be. But it won't force the truth on the listener. Parables never force you to do exactly what it's saying. It only suggests to you to get the meaning out of the parable, to take the truth out of that and apply it to your life. Parables are an offering truth as a suggestion. If my heart is resistant, it will just be a nice story. All right, he's talking about this story. That's a nice story. It's a good story, and I'll believe that. And, you know, it's a good story, but he's not talking to me. I don't need to work on that. And in your heart, you know that there's something knocking there, and you know God's saying, hello, McFly. He's speaking to you, you know, and he's knocking on your heart's door. And he's wanting to speak to you, and you're like, he's not talking to me. That's just heartburn, you know. I had some bad coffee this morning. That wasn't me. And God's saying, yes, it is. But are you going to open up your heart and receive what he has to say? Are you going to say, God, are you really speaking to me to change? If you are, God, I want to apply it to my life. God, what are you saying? Then he'll say to you, you know what? Blessed are your ears. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed is your heart because you are going to receive the kingdom of God. You're going to receive the unlocking of the mysteries that I have for your life. I'm going to show you the plan of God for your life. I'm going to reveal my word to you. You're going to grow and you're going to change because I see that you are good soil. So when I become good soil, you're going to reproduce fruit 30, 60, even 100 times over in your life. You're going to reproduce much fruit in your life because you are good soil. And he uses parables many times to test us. And he suggests it's the truth. But if we are resistance at this point, we'll never get to the next stage in our Christian walk with God. If we are resistant to what God is saying to us, we'll never get to the next stage. We'll get more and more religious over the years, but we have hardly changed. We'll grow older, but we won't grow deeper. We'll grow old, but we won't grow up. We'll get more religious, but the depth of our relationship will not increase. We'll fool a lot of people, but we will not fool God. We'll hear things about God and what others will say about God, and we rehash them. We'll sit through small groups, and we'll talk about it in the break room. And we can talk about Bible stories we heard as a kid, but are we really changing? Do we really know what those stories really meant to you and I and how God wants to use them to change our lives personally? It's learning to hear the voice of God, and God longs to speak to you. He longs to speak to me, and he will test us first. You think God's just going to speak to you when he doesn't trust you? To have good soil in your heart? Why should he take time to reveal the mysteries of your life and the mysteries of your family and the things that he wants to take you and where he's going if he can't even get you to obedient to what he's already written and spoken? See, he tests us to see, are we ready? He wants to know, we are you ruling? In Matthew 13, 34, he says, all these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. This is how Jesus spoke to the crowds. This is how he spoke to you and I, through stories and letting us know. This is how the Father longs to have a relationship with you. This is how he longs for us to learn, through parables, and he's testing us. Can we get the story? Will we apply the story? Will we open up our heart to the story? Parables test our heart to see how open we are to it. What is our tipping point? What is the point in which we respond and take action? When is truth just a suggestion and advise, or do we have to wait until our back is against the wall until we change? And there's a big difference. Because if you want God to bless your life, don't wait until your back's up against the wall. I mean, it doesn't take much faith to change in, does it? That's what King Nebuchadnezzar did. That's what he did. God was trying to speak to him. He was giving him all kinds of things, signs, and he wouldn't listen to God. He wouldn't turn, and finally God took his hand and wrote on the wall. He's like, listen, king, you're blowing it. Turn your heart back to God or I'm going to destroy you and the kingdom. And the king was like, oh, I get it, God. But how much faith was that? That God had to actually write it on the wall for him. How much faith does it take to believe God when God's merely suggested? When God merely commands it in his word, says, here it is, now you take it. Or do you have to wait until you get divorce papers on your desk and a restraining order against you before you realize that, you know what, maybe I should change some things about my life? Do I got to wait until I'm in a hospital flat on my back and God speaks, all right, God, maybe you're trying to get my attention? See, it takes faith to operate on this daily. It takes faith to operate and say, God, here's your word. Here's a parable. Here's a story. Here's what you told me to do. I accept it, and God, I'm going to change. That takes faith. But according to Scripture, what pleases God? He said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He longs for you and I to work in faith, not just with our backs against the wall to get our attention. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to live the rest of my life with my back against the wall. I don't want to spend my time in bad health and finances in trouble all the time and my children, my family in disarray because I have made poor decisions. God, what are you speaking to me now that can stop me from making that decision? What can stop me from getting in that position? And see, I change, and that takes faith, and I listen to what he's saying to me now. And many times he uses these parables to speak to us and test our hearts. Are we ready to receive what he's saying? Many times he speaks to us through parables, not only in Scripture, but parables through life. I mean, how many times have you had something happen where you said, you know what, that's just what God would do to me? Maybe it's through a children. You know, many times my kids, my four-year-old Hallie, my little girl, many times when she's getting in trouble and I try to punish her, you know, maybe she does something really bad and broken the rules and, you know, she's just not behaving and I'm getting very upset and I'm ready to punish her. And you know what she'll do? She'll get my lap and she'll start laughing. She does. She'll get my lap and she starts laughing. Anytime she gets in trouble, she just wants to laugh her way out of it, you know. She's and it's not just a little laugh. She's got a belly laugh where she's almost ready to, you know. She just got this belly laugh going, and she's laughing as hard as she can because she thinks, you know what, if I can get Dad laughing, he's going to be easy on me. He's not going to punish me as bad if I can get Dad laughing. And she, even though, you know, and it's hard, you know, to keep a straight face many times when you see that, and I think, God, this is how we are with you. Even though maybe she's done something I'm very upset about, and I can't get her to mind today, and I'm having problems, you know, that even though all that, I love her so much. And she just laughs, and it makes me, not that I don't get on to her, and she doesn't get her way, but you know, my heart is soft to my kids. Even though I get very upset when they break something that's very valuable, and they put holes in the walls, and I just patched it and painted it. And things happen, you know, and they put dents in your car when they shouldn't be playing basketball by the car, and they do things. You have no idea. You know what I'm talking about. And you're so upset, but you know, on the other hand, I love my kids so much, and it's through that I learned God's grace. That God, even how much more do you love me? And God's speaking to me through parables of life. I'm learning his love for me as I learn to love my children. He's speaking to me about how much he loves me. And that's a parable of life. And how many times through life do we have parables like that that come up every day or on a job or something happens and we're like, you know what, that's just God speaking to me about something. And do we apply it to our life and say, that's not God. That's just me thinking that's a crazy story. And we blow it off. God tests our hearts to see, are we going to hear? He said, blessed are your eyes because they have started to see, and your ears because they are starting to hear. For to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Those who hear when God speaks, he says, to you I'm going to reveal even more. God tests our hearts. You know, in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, we see the story of David here. David's just been appointed king. And as David's just been appointed king, and Saul has just killed himself, they're like, all right, David, you're our new king. They've anointed him king here, and you're the king. You're the man. The Philistines had already had invaded Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and they're holding out there. They're ready to destroy Hebron and to ruin Israel. The Philistines have taken camp, and David's got some mighty men of value, and they're hiding out in the hills, kind of plotting out their next attack. All right, I'm the new king. I've got these mighty men of valor. We're going to take off. We're going to take back the land that God has given to us, and we're going to defeat the Philistines. And the Word of God talks about these three guys who were in his mighty men of valor. And out of these 30 men, there was three who were the top-ranking officials. And these guys, were the names were Joab and Eleazar and Joshabim. What a name. Joshabim. I mean, how would you like to have the name Joshabim? I am Joshabim. I come in the name of the Lord. I mean, what a great name. Bible name. Joshabim. And the Word of God talks about these guys and how they were mighty men of valor. It says that David was thirsty one day, and he's talking to these guys about sundown, and the sun's going down, and getting ready to go to bed. He says, man, do you remember that well, that water down there at home? Oh, it had the coldest water. The best cool well water there. It was cold. It was cool. It tasted good. I mean, it was great. It tasted better than any filter we could have. You know, he's just going on, you know. I can imagine David talking to these guys about this great water. Man, I would love to have a glass of that water. All right, guys, I'm going to bed, and I'll see you. And he went to bed. And the Word of God talks about these three guys that they said, you know what, let's go get the king some water. And so they snuck into the enemy's camp. They hiked many miles down the hill. Snuck into the camp at night when it was very dangerous and put their own lives at risk just to get a cup of water. I mean, think about it. They put their own life at risk just because they wanted to get the king a cup of water. And they get a cup of water and they put it in the thermal cup, you know, I'm sure the isolated ice chest, and they were going up the hill and they bring it back. About the time the sun's coming up and David wakes up, they're like, hey, king, guess what? We brought you some water from that well that you like so much. And David looks at him and says, what did you do? You guys put your life on the line just to get A glass of water from me? I didn't ask you to do this. I just said I like the water and that it would be nice to have some. But I never asked you to put your life on the line. I never asked you to do this. I never told you. I just suggested to you that I would like to have some of that water. And look what David does here. We see it in 1 Chronicles 11:18. And he looks at these men and says, do you know how precious this water is? Do you know how valuable this water is? I didn't ask you to get it because I promised you anything other than I just told you I wanted to drink. And you brought it to me. How valuable is this? And look what David says here. He says, David would not drink it, but he poured it out to the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, before my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their own lives? For at the risk of their lives, they brought it to him. Therefore, he would not drink it. Which brings us to our last point here. The highest form of worship is when a mere suggestion of our King moves us to action. When the mere suggestion of our King moves us to action. David didn't promise him anything. He didn't say, hey, you know, the next guy that brings me a drink from this well and puts his life on the line, he's going to be the top in command. I'm going to make him second command. I'm going to give him the best of everything, the best chariot. I'll give him one of my, you know, all these things. You know, when David defeated Goliath, you know what he got? He got real motivated when he found out that he was going to get a babe if he beat the giant. He wasn't interested to find out there was no taxes to be paid, and he got the king's daughter. And all of a sudden, he's like, hallelujah, bless the Lord, hallelujah. I'm feeling spiritual all of a sudden. It wasn't until David found out what was in it that he really got motivated. But these guys had nothing to motivate them. David didn't reward them or tell them he will do anything for them. He just simply said, I'm thirsty for a glass of that kind of water. And because the mere suggestion of their king moved them to go and put their life at risk just to get a cool drink of that water and bring it back to their king. And David said, God, I can't drink this. God, this is so precious to me. If these guys, at the mere of my suggestion, would move them to put their life on the line to travel all that way all night just to get me a drink of this water. And the word of God says he offered it out as a sacrifice of worship to the Lord because David knew that was the highest form of worship that he could give to his God. Was when the mere sacrifice of you taking the action just when the king suggests it. Not because he makes you do it. Not because God says do this or else. But when God says this is the truth. This is what I'm telling you. And when you read it in the mere suggestions in the parables and mere suggestions in scripture God spoke. He says this is what I want you to do. When he just tells you. And you act, not because he commanded you to have to do it, or you're going to die, because you do it because you want to please your king. Because the sheer suggestion of the king says, change this in your life. And you say, you know what? I want to please my king. I'll do anything to please my king, to please my Lord and Savior. When you have a heart like that, that becomes the highest form of worship we could give. We can have 1,000-voice choir. We can have 100 instruments. And we can sing every day, all night long, every night of the week. And we will never have a higher form of worship than when we act out of obedience at the mere suggestion of what God tells us to do. When our hearts are moved, what God asks us to do, not because our backs are against the wall, not because we're in bad health, but because we want to act out of obedience. Say, God, I hear what you're saying, and God, I want to change. That becomes the highest form of worship that I can give to my King. That becomes the highest form of worship that you and I want to live in a lifestyle of worship. It comes when I read in my daily devotions, and God speaks to me. Say, yeah, God, you're speaking to me. I want to change today. I'm going to try to be better today at this. That becomes the highest form of worship known to give to God. When it moves us to action, when it's not just a suggestion, but it moves us to an action and we don't reject it, that becomes the highest form of worship. My prayer is that the Lord will look at this church and say, blessed are their eyes because they are seeing, and their ears because they are hearing. These people have been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. How is your heart today? Is it ready to hear? Is it really ready to hear? If God was going to speak to you today, is it really ready to hear? God's speaking. And he's already spoke to his people. If you have a red letter edition Bible like I do, like many of you have, you read through the red and see where he's already spoke. Verbatim, what he wanted you and I to know. And do I look at his word as he's already spoke and say, God, you're speaking to me. I want to change. And when I do that, you know what happens? Just by reading his word or hearing a message like this and saying, God, I want to change. That becomes a high form of worship while I'm honoring the king, putting his word into action and saying, God, change my life. Then he looks at me and says, blessed are you because you heard my word and you received it. Your heart is good soil. You're going to give 30, 60, even 100-fold fruit is going to come forth in your life. I'm going to reveal things to you that you only dreamed about. I'm going to show you in a direction for your life that you didn't even know existed. I'm going to reveal things to you. I'm going to speak to you, and you're going to hear because you are blessed. And I'm calling you blessed because your heart is ready to hear. Let's bow our heads. Today, as we conclude this message, I want to ask you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and say, Pastor Gene, man, as you're speaking, I know that not only have I not listened to the stories, have not listened to God's word, man, I haven't even asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And I need to do that first before I can do anything else. I've got to ask Jesus in my life. I've got to ask him to forgive me my sins, ask him to be Lord of my life, and I want to accept Jesus today. Nobody's looking but me and God. If you're here today, say, Pastor Gene, I want to accept Jesus Christ. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want you just to raise your hand where you're at and say, that's me. I want to accept Jesus. Can you raise it high where I can see it and say, that's me? Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. You say, that's me. Before we go any further, we've had four people who raised their hands today. I want all of us to pray this prayer. Please repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. Take away my sin. Take away my hurt. All this junk in my life, I give it to you. I receive your forgiveness. I confess you as Lord. Lord of my life and Lord of this earth. If you prayed that prayer today, you know in your heart that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And your eternity is changed today. It's more than just a prayer, though. It's a lifestyle. We're going to turn away from my old lifestyle and I'll begin to say, God, I want to learn. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're going to make mistakes. But it means you're going to continue to walk toward the things of Christ. Get connected to people around you. If you came with somebody, make sure you let them know, hey, I accepted Jesus today. We have small groups that are meeting on Wednesday nights. Be here on Wednesday nights, man. Get plugged into a small support group that will be with you. And they'll pray with you. And they'll help you along the way. Don't do it alone because you can't do it alone. You need friends who support you and hold you up. We want to be that church that can help you. So make sure you let us know. Get involved. Second question I have today before we leave. See, Pastor Gene, as you're speaking, I've learned it in my heart that many times I try to justify scriptures to fit where I'm at. And I found myself not always softening my heart and getting my heart ready to hear. Can you just bow your heads one more time and say, Pastor Gene, that's me. If you're here today, you say, that's me. Thank you. I want to learn to let my heart be ready to hear God. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else to say, God's speaking to me? Thank you. God's speaking to me today to get my heart ready to hear God. Thank you. Thanks. Anybody else here to say, God's speaking to me? Thank you. Thank you. Let's stand together. I'm going to close this out in a prayer. I want to pray especially for those who raised their hands and said, God, soften my heart. Get my heart ready to hear that I can be obedient to your teachings. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, that we can come together today in your house to celebrate you, and you always are here. And God, we love you. And God, I pray for those who raised their hands today and said that they wanted to learn to soften their hearts, Lord, but not only soften their hearts, but get their hearts ready to hear. That they would not reject the word of God, that they would not slough it off. But God, as things are taught and as things are revealed to them, as parables are given or stories are happening in their life, that they would not blow it off, but they would learn to apply it to their life in a personal way. That God, you can call them blessed. You can call me blessed. You can call Destiny Church a people who are blessed, who are hearing your word and applying it to our lives, that the mysteries of heaven are revealed to us as we seek after you and your kingdom. We say, thank you, Jesus. We bless your name in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Go with God today. Bless somebody before you leave. Say, man, it's good to see you. And hug a neck. We say, God bless you, and you guys have a safe week. We'll see you Wednesday night.